The Wicked Smart Sports Guys is brought to you by SunmaxBatteries.com, as always, the go-to website for all your battery needs. SunMax Batteries carries a full line of super heavy-duty, ultra-alkaline, lithium, and button cell batteries. SunMax Batteries compares in quality to well-known national brands, and the best part, SunMax Batteries are priced much lower than their competitors. Flashlights, remote controls, gaming controls, headphones, digital cameras, hearing aids, smoke lamps, whatever device you need a battery for. SunMax is the best batteries at the best price for your device. Order a 24-pack of AA or AAA heavy-duty batteries for only $5.99, or a 24-pack of Ultra Alkaline, ideal for all kinds of gaming high-tech devices, at just $12.99. Order today and use coupon code BOSTON, that's coupon code BOSTON, all uppercase, at checkout, and save 20% off your entire order. Once again, that's coupon code BOSTON, all uppercase, at checkout, and save big today. SunmaxBatteries.com, CellmaxBatteries.com, the official sponsor of the Wicked Smart Sports Guys. Alright, welcome back to another episode of the Wicked Smart Sports Guys podcast. Thanks always to Dolly Dreams for the intro music. This week, we're talking about the NFL with one game left to go in what's been the craziest NFL season to date, that I've experienced at least. It's absolutely been the craziest. And what a fitting end to have Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes facing off in the Super Bowl. After all this craziness, we get what some are calling the best Super Bowl matchup in NFL history, and here to talk about it, as always, couldn't go with anybody else. After all season, we couldn't bring anyone else on to talk about the NFL. Colin Cannata. Colin, thank you for coming back on the show.
KJ, thanks for having me, as always. And yeah, you said it, man. You get Tom Brady back in the Super Bowl against Patrick Mahomes. I think the last time we were on here and we were talking about what storylines we'd like to see in the Super Bowl. I don't think it gets much better than this.
Yeah, I think this was both of our number ones. Like, I think I mentioned that the only two teams I didn't want to see were the Rams and, like, maybe the Bills. But if it was Bills-Brady, even that would have been great. Like, him finally facing off against them or facing off against them again after, you know, I looked it up beforehand and he was, like, 32-3 career record against Buffalo. It's just ridiculous what he's done to that team. And that would have been, come with its own slew of storylines. But this one has some meat on the bone, too. And we'll get into that in a second. But we're going to start with Brady. Just, what are your thoughts? The fact that he is back in this game again, how possible did you think it was coming into the playoffs? And can you believe he's actually here now?
Yeah, KJ, it's actually unbelievable. I mean, we talked, last time we were on the show, and we kind of were, you know, thinking maybe the Bucs aren't as good as they actually seemed on paper when they were coming into the playoffs. But they've obviously proven us wrong on that. But I think I started to believe it was more possible with Tom Brady, to really answer your question, like, as every game went on, you know, like, once they beat Washington, then I was like, oh, it's Breeze versus Brady. Like, is there any way that he's not going to go out there and get a victory? For me, it's these two guys, Breeze and Rodgers, that have, you know, you've had people putting them in the same conversation as Tom Brady for years now. And it just felt so poetic, the opportunity that Tom Brady had, that I started to believe more and more by the second that he was going to get it done and go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and the thing that stands out to me is that argument of, oh, how many championships would Rodgers have had if he had Belichick, right? And we saw that all the time. And I think I even saw an ESPN stat or something, like a poll that they put up, where they asked people, how many championships would Rodgers have if he played with Belichick? And like 33% of people said more than 7. And it was like, or more than 6. Like, are you crazy? People don't appreciate how insane 6 championships is. Never mind that he's back there now and could win his 7th. Like, before Brady did it, 4 seemed like, well, 4 is almost impossible. Only a couple, it's rare to get to 4. 5 seemed unattainable. 6 seemed like lunacy. And now he could win his 7th. Like, that is absolutely insane. And by the way, I mean, we mentioned this, and I think I said this to you privately, but like, if Brady wins this one, forget about the GOAT conversation forever. We can never have it again, and that's going to be a big topic heading into this week. I think I saw somebody tweet out, I saw a story one of my friends sent to me that said, if Patrick Mahomes wins this game, it will determine whether he will pass Tom Brady as the GOAT or something like that. And what I said is, that's a good title, but instead of will, it should be can. Because if he does not win this game, he can't pass Tom Brady as the GOAT. Because he just won't have enough time. There's no way he'll win 8. Like, knock on wood, I guess. But there's no way he's going to win 8 if Tom Brady beats him this time around. And if Brady beats him, he has the win over him in the AFC title game. He has the win over him in the Super Bowl. And he'll get to 7. And no one's reaching that number ever. So we will never, if Tom Brady wins this game, we will never be able to have any sort of GOAT debate in football ever again. This week, these next 2 weeks, where people are talking about Brady and Mahomes and can Mahomes ever get there, that might be the last time anyone's allowed to debate this in the history of football.
Yeah, and I think the most key point there is if you look at the fact that Tom Brady at age 43 would be beating Patrick Mahomes and, you know, what is expected to be the beginning of his prime. I mean, his prime was basically once he started starting at quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs, as we've seen. But, I mean, you can't lose to Tom Brady at age 43 when no one thought he could even get there. He's there. If he beats you, I don't see how Patrick Mahomes would be able to overcome that in his legacy, even if he did get to 6 Super Bowl rings or got up there and was almost tied with Tom Brady. I think the head-to-head is so essential. So like I said at the beginning, this is absolute storyline city. There's so much to this game. You know, two coaches, Andy Reid, Bruce Arians. You know, Andy Reid trying to get another Super Bowl. Bruce Arians trying to, you know, go win his first as a head coach. It's going to be a very intense 2 weeks because you're going to hear people all over the, you know, all over the spectrum when it comes to the Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes argument. I mean, heck, we've got people who are saying Mahomes is already the best quarterback of all time, just talent-wise. And, you know, we'll worry about the GOAT debate as the years go on and he gets more rings. And I just think it's more difficult than that. If it was easier, you know, to do what Tom Brady did, there would have been more people in history who have done it, and there have been absolutely zero. So, I guess that's where I'm at on it. I think people want to mitigate how difficult it is to do what Tom Brady's done and is still doing and just say, okay, this next guy, he can do it, he can do it. And I don't quite see it. So this would be a big step for Mahomes if he wants to get that argument, for me personally, to think it's legitimate.
Yeah, and personally, I think it's fair to measure greatness by rings. I know people say it's a team accomplishment. It's the biggest part of the game. It's the most important part of the game is always winning. It's what we love to hear players talk about. You don't want to hear about individual accomplishments. You want to hear about the winning. And ultimately, the quarterback has a huge impact on that. So that's another reason why winning is even more important when you're a quarterback, because you control more than everybody else. So it's absolutely fair to say it's all about the rings. You need the rings to be in that argument. But if we're just talking apart from that, I mean, Patrick Mahomes is unlike any player I've ever seen in my entire life. When I watch it, a lot of people that I talk to are rooting against him. They don't want to see another dynasty pop up, everything like that. Like, never mind, we'll talk about later how hard it is to repeat. But the fact that Mahomes does what he does on a consistent basis, I've never seen anybody do these things. The throws he makes on the run, across his body, across the field, which you should never make. Like, it's ingrained into everybody's head in football. Don't throw to the other side of the field. Don't throw to the other side of the field. He can do it well on a consistent basis. I've never seen anybody do that. The way he's able to throw out of sacks at different angles, like just the bombs he throws at Tyreek Hill. I've never seen anybody play like this guy, and I just sometimes just sit back and enjoy it. Like, I'm not going to be one of those people that is constantly rooting against him. I'm not going to, you know, root for him. I'm not bandwagoning him or anything like that, but I just enjoy watching him play football because I marvel at it. It's insane to see what this guy can do on the football field. And so when it comes to greatest, I would never, you know, give that title to somebody without the rings. But most talented, I understand where that argument comes from because I my jaw drops sometimes when I watch this guy.
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, he is, it's unquestionable talent, and he's just doing things that we have not seen people do. And at the end of the day, a lot of those things, it includes Tom Brady. I mean, Tom Brady is not making some of the athletic plays and you know, broken plays, turning them into 50-yard gains. It's just not happening. But, you know, consistency has worked for Tom, and he's old reliable. And old reliable apparently still works because he just took what some people would consider one of the worst franchises in football over the last 20 years to the Super Bowl. And I, you know, don't take this the wrong way, KJ. Some of the Mahomes stuff for me comes down to, and I know this is a cheesy argument and a cop-out argument for a lot of people, and you've heard it in a lot of scenarios, but I mean, he does have Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, so I think he's incredible and probably still, even without them, be the best quarterback in football. But at the end of the day, those guys will really help make you look good when you throw a 8-yard out route and Tyreek Hill takes it 70 yards down the sideline or this and that. Like I said, it's not an argument saying he's not the best quarterback in the NFL right now, but it's an argument that both his talent combined and the talent around him make it one of the most unstoppable and fun to watch offenses that you'll probably ever see in your life.
So I'll push back on the thing, and I have pushed back on it because you're not the only one to make this argument that Brady is taking this lowly Bucks team to the Super Bowl. And it's like, the Bucks built a super team, man, and they are talented as all hell. Like, across not just the offense, but the defense. They are, and I wrote this back, I'm sure you remember, back in February when the rumors started that Brady was going to leave, I said, if Brady's not re-signing with the Patriots, he should go to Tampa Bay. And the reason was everything that was around him. And people rag on Bruce Arians, and, you know, I'm not going to push back against that too much. But what he did with Carson Palmer was special. Carson Palmer was done before Bruce Arians got his hands on him. Okay, so Bruce Arians isn't perfect. He's not without his faults. But he's a pretty good coach. He's top half of the league, okay? And I know people like to make fun of him, but he deserves some credit for what he did, not just with the Cardinals, but with the Colts, and a little bit, with this Bucks team, because I think he did improve their record upon getting there, and certainly not easy to do with where that team was at, as you said, one of the losingest franchises. But now, looking at what they have, not only did they have all the talent there that I already wanted Brady to go to for, which was Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, okay, and Cameron Brake. Then they bring in Gronk. Then they bring in Antonio Brown. Then they bring in Leonard Fournette. And they have Devin White. And they have Lavonte David. And they have Vita Vea. And they have Ndamukong Suh. And, this team has so much talent top to bottom. We can talk about how the teams are going to match up intangibly and all that other extracurricular whatever stuff, okay? But talent for talent? I think Tampa stacks up with Kansas City. I really do.
Yeah, I don't disagree. And when I said one of the worst run organizations in the last 20 years.
And you know what? That is true. But I just look at it and say, yes, sure, one of the worst run organizations. But right now, they're really good. Like, you know, I understand what they did in the past wasn't great, but
it's a top five roster in football from a talent standpoint. And you could probably even make an argument that it's a top three or top two roster in football talent-wise. So I completely agree that right now, yeah, they had the pieces around them and they had the team to maybe go make a push. But, you know, it's no secret that going from Jameis Winston to Tom Brady, I mean, yeah, they added some nice pieces in Gronk and Antonio Brown and Leonard Fournette and stuff like that. But the nucleus of the main stars is the same, and Tom Brady obviously comes in and makes a huge difference for that team. So like I said, I don't disagree with you at all. The Bucks were in a good position to go kind of take that next step. They just needed Tom Brady to help them do it. And we've seen that it's certainly worked, for sure.
Yeah, and certainly, I mean, we didn't even mention Tristan Wirfs, who's been great at tackle since they drafted him. But the argument that you could make in relation to that is, like, the institutionalized loserdom argument. Like, that team's just a loser franchise. And you mentioned that, hey, you know, worst winning percentage in, you know, of any team in any sport, whatever, going at the end of the season. They still had won a Super Bowl, and I feel like that makes all the difference, right? Like, now, like, when you look at the Browns, and you look at the Lions, those kind of teams, and how long they've gone without winning a Super Bowl, and the Vikings even to some extent, like, those teams have more of a loser stench to me than the Buccaneers did, because the Buccaneers had been to the mountaintop, and really, to me, that's all it's about. Like, if you had already broken through, which they had, I care less about the overall winning percentage. Like, does that make sense? Like, I don't think we view the Buccaneers as the kind of losers that we saw the Browns as for years, the Lions as for years, and the Vikings as for years.
Yeah, no, you're definitely right, because at least, you know, for people our age, we remember that Super Bowl when we were pretty young, you know what I mean? So you remember the Rondé Barber days and John Gruden being there. So, like, they had some good years, and obviously if you have a ring to show for it, it's tough to group you in with a team like the Browns, who hasn't won in forever. The Lions just, you know, have an 0-16 season to show for it. So, yeah, no, I agree. I don't think they're quite at the bottom of the barrel, but they certainly had their problems for a long time. And it was probably, what, about 20 years, a little less than 20 years. So, I mean, it's good for them to be back in the big game, but I'll stand by. It's the Tom Brady difference.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's talk about the Chiefs a little bit now. I always thought that the Chiefs, when you looked at them, I still think, and this goes back to what you said about Hill and Kelce, which I agree with to some extent. You know, you still said Mahomes would be the best quarterback in the league, so I'll let you get away with it. But I do think their other weapons are a little overrated, like Mecole Hardman, and, you know, who, you know, had some decent plays in that game, also had a big muff punt. But like Sammy Watkins, even DeMarcus Robinson, like those guys, I don't think those guys are as good as they're made out to be sometimes. And the thing I don't understand the most is if you were playing the Chiefs, I mean, wouldn't you just try to double both of those guys? And I know that at that point you're sacrificing a lot of your defense. All right, you're compromised in other places. But it's like so much that offense runs through those two guys. How many receptions did they have combined in that championship game? Was it like, it was over 20, wasn't it? I mean, it was close to 20. Those guys, like, I'm looking it up now as I'm talking to you, but let's see. So Kelsey, I know, Kelsey had 13 and Hill had 9. 22 receptions for those two guys alone. Everybody else had 7. Like, I know it sounds crazy, but, like, why don't teams commit more of their defense to stop those two guys and make everyone else beat them? I've never seen a team make the others beat them on the Chiefs. I've never seen it.
Quite frankly, the only team that we've seen even neutralize Tyreek Hill in the postseason almost ever was the Patriots, and they did a good job with that. But that's a story for another time. I mean, you're right. You had the two guys. They combined for almost 300 receiving yards last night.
I mean, is it a matter of more easier said than done? Because when I watch this, it seems like these guys are in one-on-one coverage a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess, you know, I'm not a defensive coordinator, and I never have been, like, in the room trying to, you know, draw plays and watch film and understand how we're going to stop it, but like I wouldn't be too afraid of Pringle or Hardman or even Watkins doesn't even almost exist for their offense anymore. So like I would totally put all of my resources, literally all of them. If Pringle's going to beat me over the top once or twice, like I guess that's the risk I have to take, right? To not get consistently burned. But I guess the other problem is like it's yard after the catch ability. Like they're so in sync with Mahomes that even a broken play, a play that maybe the first read didn't go the way they thought it would, I mean, they just still, they're picking up 20-yard chunk plays at will. So I don't know. Like I said, that, you know, beyond those two guys, that supporting cast doesn't scare me too much. But, I guess it's scaring NFL defenses enough to not completely sell out on the two superstars.
Okay, and this is the other thing in relation to the Chiefs. All right, obviously have a chance to repeat here. Would be the first team to repeat since the Patriots, right? Now, two other teams had a shot to since then. The Seahawks against Tom Brady, and they lost. And Tom Brady against the Eagles, and they lost. So, now that they're here, like, does any part of you think teams, you know, they might not be able to... Like, here's what I'll say about the Chiefs. I don't think it's so much the thing about repeating. I don't know if you do, but the thing that really scares me about it from the Chiefs' perspective is I just don't think they've been tested this season. And usually, as we know with the Patriots, we've seen season after season, when you haven't been tested during the regular season or the playoffs, like, that usually comes back to bite you if you end up getting to the big game.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And, you know, the Chiefs actually, I mean, this week they looked phenomenal. But leading up to this, they hadn't looked amazing, at least in my opinion. I mean, I know Mahomes spent, a third of the game in the locker room, but I thought the Browns could have beat them. Like, the Browns were in the game. Obviously, they, you know, went into pull-away mode a little bit on the Bills, and then they never looked back. And Mahomes was out of this world in the AFC Championship. But the Chiefs this year haven't felt like completely unbeatable. And I mean, it is kind of dumb to say, knowing they went 14-2 and they've handled almost every test that was put in front of them, one of their losses being in the last week of the season, resting everybody. Like, I mean, they win games. They certainly win games. But I don't know if I have that same feeling of like if I would be completely fearing the Chiefs, like maybe teams felt like last year. It was just like, I mean, they're just firing on all cylinders at all times. I mean, right now, I think you got to find a way to turn them over if you're the Bucs defense, because that's how you've gotten to, you know, the Super Bowl. But I think it's a beatable Chiefs team, however beatable that really is, or, you know, the level to that, I'm not sure. But, I would agree with the Chiefs being favorites in the game, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and a lot of these games that they were in were one-score games, but in most of these, the other team came on strong in the fourth quarter, and it had nothing to do with the fact that, like, it wasn't really a close game throughout. Like, for example, they beat the Dolphins only by 6, right? The Dolphins outscored them by 14 in the fourth quarter. They were up 20 in that game. That wasn't, you know, a tooth and nail game, right? The Buccaneers game, right? 27-24. Everybody's going to be talking about that. It was this week. That was pretty close. They were up 17 in the fourth quarter. the Buccaneers outscored him 14-0 in the fourth quarter, and so that game was not really all that close. And you know, it's part, I mean, part of what's been the case all season. I mean, their toughest games have been like the two against the Raiders, and that's kind of it. Like, I look at the schedule and the games they played. I don't remember one where they really had a fight. Where they really, most of the time, all they had to do was, you know, do what they did against the Browns, which was hold a lead. And I don't think that's the most difficult thing for a team to do. I don't consider that being battle tested. And so I feel like now that they're in the Super Bowl, the Buccaneers, when we look across that other side, they're a team that I would consider having been very battle tested. They've had their ups and downs this season. And I think that team that usually has their ups and downs wins in the end. And when I look at like what the Buccaneers have really been through, like I've always thought, and I know I've never really vocalized this, and I don't know why, because now it's going to sound like maybe I'm making it up. But part of me has always thought, I wonder if they're playing possum a little bit. Like when they lost to the Saints twice, right? Part of me in the back of my head thought, and I might have said this before, that, you know, I wonder if they're holding back because they know they're probably going to see the Saints in the playoffs, or they have a good chance of seeing the Saints in the playoffs, and they don't want to put all their cards on the table yet. You know, I wonder if that's the case. And I wonder if they don't want to show everything, because really this is all about playing for a championship. That's the only reason you have Tom Brady. And, I mean, I think that could end up being the case in the end. Like, they've had some really tough battles and some really hard losses. That one against the Chiefs where they always came back. The Bears loss where Tom Brady maybe forgot the downs or maybe didn't. I don't know. You know, I don't know if we want to, you know, decide, say whether he did or didn't, but that was a thing. And, you know, they've had some, I feel like, tougher games throughout the season than the Chiefs have. And I've watched a lot of both of these teams because Tom Brady is a player that I've followed for a long time and I was going to continue to follow the season. And Patrick Mahomes and Harrison Butker were on my fantasy team. So I watched a lot of both of these guys. And I really feel the Buccaneers had a tougher go of it this year. And I feel like that's going to bode well for them in this game.
Yeah, and if you look at the Buccaneers, you kind of mentioned it, but they were forced to make adjustments and they were forced to figure it out at certain times. And I think that's important, kind of like you said, whether it's being battle tested or, you know, what the scoreboard says or this or that in certain games. I think it's more about, you know, getting punched in the mouth and having to kind of come back and figure it out. The Chiefs, for the most part, kind of just were on a walk in the park. Like you said, oddly, their two toughest games were against the Raiders. And then, you know, down the stretch, they kind of played some games that were, and I think that's why I've been left with that kind of taste in my mouth, that maybe they're not as scary as they've been in the past. Like, you know, if A.J. Terrell holds onto the ball against Atlanta, the Chiefs lose that game. Like, they almost lost to the Saints. They almost lost to the Dolphins. But, you know, when you say almost lost, that's like you said, you're looking at the scoreboard. You're not looking at the fact that, okay, the Chiefs are up by 3 scores, kind of pulled off the gas, just, you know, trying to turn clock and let the game finish, and they gave up 2 garbage time scores to make it a 1-possession game. Like, yeah, that totally makes sense to me. But like I said, the Bucs, you know, that the loss to the Bears, and there were so many times, both losses to the Saints. I mean, I remember they got obliterated on Sunday Night Football with the whole country watching. And it's like this Bucs season has kind of had that feel of some old Patriots seasons where the Patriots made their Super Bowl runs, where it was like they came out and they struggled a little bit early. And like I remember a year in the Patriots where Brady and the Pats were 1-2. And then ended up winning the Super Bowl that year. Like, there was just, it's up and downs. And, they lost to the Bears. And it was like, oh, maybe the Bucs aren't as good as we thought they were. And then they had some good wins. And the win against the Falcons with the comeback. It's like, oh, this Bucs offense is finally clicking. But, I don't, you know, my point, I'm bringing up a lot of random moving parts. But my point is that the Bucs have had to make these adjustments. The Bucs have had to change kind of the team they are, not necessarily change the identity of the team, but change the way they attack and change the way on defense that they adjust to certain things and try to force turnovers. And right now, the Bucs defense is playing the best it's played all season. You know, if you can force turnovers, I think Bill Belichick has said it himself, you win the turnover battle in the playoffs, you're probably going to win the game. So, I mean, the Bucs, like I said, they've just had to continue to find themselves. And when you face that adversity, have to bounce back from it and figure out what you're going to do next, what your next move is to get better as a team. I think that bodes better than a team that was just better than everybody the whole season and never really had to adjust too much at all.
Yeah, and you want a stat? The Chiefs have only been trailing entering the fourth quarter twice this year, twice the entire year. They've been trailing entering the fourth quarter. They lost one of those to the Raiders, 40-32. And they snuck out a win against the Chargers in week two in overtime. I think you remember that. I think that was Herbert's, you know, big breakout game where everybody started to say, well, Justin Herbert, you know, he looks like he can really play. That was the only other game that they entered the fourth quarter trailing, and they barely won that in OT. And that was another game where they looked shaky. I mean, they really did. So, I mean, I feel like if the Buccaneers can get up early on this Chiefs team or get up at all, like be up entering the fourth quarter, the Chiefs have not used to that spot. They're not used to that spot. They're not comfortable in that spot. And that's going to be tough. And we haven't mentioned at all even the fact that they're playing a road game. They're playing a road game in the Super Bowl. Like, that is absolutely insane. And the last point I want to make is that the Buccaneers, I mean, we've already talked about this. We talked about this, I think, a week or two ago. How do you beat the Chiefs? What's the game plan offensively to beat the Chiefs?
I mean, what we discussed was to be able to run the ball effectively, but it didn't necessarily pan out for the Browns because they got down.
Didn't necessarily pan out for them. Can the Buccaneers, with Leonard Fournette and Ronald Jones, have they proven this season that they can run the ball? I'd say so, right? Like, those two guys, as a tandem, they might. I mean, we talked about Hunt and Chubb being one of the best running back tandems in the league. Just as I don't know if they have the high-end talent that those guys have, Fournette and Ronald Jones, but they've had some really good, both of those guys have had some really good games this season, and no matter who you want to say is the number two in that backfield, that might be the second best number two running back in the NFL right now. Like that, at least if you're not including these pass-catching backs and stuff like that, just a pure runner, they have two of the best pure runners as a tandem in the league. So they can absolutely do what it takes to beat the Chiefs, especially the offensive line is pretty good too. So if they need to run the ball to beat the Chiefs, they can run the ball too. Like, I think everything's lining up perfectly for the Bucs.
Yeah, and I mean, those at the end of the day, those two guys just produce. Like, Fournette and Jones, they produce, and that's what you need. I mean, I know it's kind of become a little bit of a joke, but the playoff Lenny, like, Leonard Fournette looks like what we were expecting Leonard Fournette to look like forever ago, right? Like, when Leonard Fournette came out of college and started the whole, I'm going to sit out the bowl game because I'm such a lock to be a top five pick and this and that, like, we thought he was Bo Jackson. And, you know, not that he's showing that he's that at this point, but he's playing really well, and he's kind of become like another weapon for them. And weirdly enough, if you told me that Leonard Fournette was going to be catching five passes in some of these playoff games and being productive with the ball once he gets the ball in his hands, you know, I don't know if I would have predicted that. So yeah, the running backs have produced a lot, and they've kind of, like I said, because Fournette has added that aspect to his game here in the postseason, they kind of have something similar to the Chubb Hunt thing where they have two different backs and you're able to throw the ball too while you have two backs who are very efficient and successful runners when they go downhill. So I like the Bucs run game against the Chiefs. I like the Bucs everything really when it comes to offense. The Chiefs have been really poor in the red zone until last night. They were the last ranked team in the league in red zone defense. Obviously last night they're able to stop Josh Allen and the Bills twice in the red zone, but you know, I expect Tom Brady, when he gets the ball in the red zone, to hopefully be able to put the ball in with the weapons that he has, especially down in the red zone. So I think the formula for the Bucs offense to beat the Chiefs defense is there. It's just going to come down, I think, really, and I don't know if you agree with this, but I would say it comes down to, can they force a couple turnovers? When I say they, I mean the Bucs defense, and can they, you know, hold Mahomes enough? Because at the end of the day, there is no like holding Mahomes or like neutralizing Mahomes in the offense. It just doesn't happen. So it's there's levels to all of this, and they'll have to find that level where they can outscore whatever production Mahomes gets against them. But I think it's going to need to be the defense kind of dictating how high pace the offense needs to go, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and to me, it's not even about what they produce in this postseason necessarily. Like, you're right, Leonard Fournette, 93 yards against Washington, that's great. And that 20-yard run, particularly in that last game, that looked like that was a mini, I wanted to say it, but I knew it was disrespectful a little bit. It was a mini Beastquake. Very tiny, little mini, it registered on the Richter, whatever the scale is that they measure earthquakes on. It measured a little bit, a little tiny, there was a little bit of, because first he gets stopped at the line, he almost gets angle tackled, just steps out of it. And then he breaks another tackle on the outside, goes with a spin move, which is like, after powering through two guys, two different guys, then you just finesse one another one. Like, that's the whole thing of being a complete runner. Like, that was insane. And then the last two guys at the goal line, he just trucks through. And it's like, that is really what you're talking about when you're talking about the special kind of player that Leonard Fournette can be. Like, that was when I looked at him and said, wow. Like, that is why this guy was the fourth overall pick. And that is why when he signed with the Buccaneers, we all said, wow, another weapon for these guys. So, I don't know. I mean, we'll end it on this. Who do you think wins this game? Because I've already said I think everything's lining up for the Bucs.
I'm picking the Bucs too, and you know I think I have to. Like, at the end of the day, I know it's kind of a cop-out answer, but as a former fan of this guy for 20 years, it's impossible to pick against this guy in the playoffs. And you know what? You can tell me 6-9, he lost a couple Super Bowls, maybe he shouldn't, whatever. Percentages tell me Tom Brady's going to win the Super Bowl if he gets there, and I'm going to keep riding with that. I just, you know, I think they're going to come with their absolute best game plan, and if there's anybody who can get a team ready to go play in a Super Bowl, it's Tom Brady, who's played in, you know, half of them in his career. So I have to pick the Bucs. I think, you know, the logic might tell you to pick the Chiefs, but it's kind of a heart pick for me, KJ. Like I said, I cannot bet against the guy that I've seen just win, and win some more. So I'm going Bucs.
Boy, if he wins seven, man. If he wins seven, just king him or something. Just make him the king. All right. Thank you, Colin, for joining us. Thank you guys for listening. As always, really appreciate it. You can go follow Colin on Twitter at KanataColin. Go follow the podcast on Twitter at WickedSmartPod. Go follow me on Twitter at ByKJJoe. Check out everything over at Guy Boston Sports, especially the pregame show that I'm going to be doing in 5 minutes. That this podcast is not going to be up before, but you can go check out the replay anyway, okay? It'll be fun. But Colin, thanks you once again for joining us and talking football with us. Always appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, KJ. And you know what? I'm not gonna get too caught up on all the storylines they're going to bring up about Brady and Belichick in the next week. I'm going to enjoy that Brady's still at the top of the, you know, top of the world, has another chance to bring a trophy home, even if it's not for my team.
All right. Thanks for listening as always, guys, and we'll see you next week.